This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
It's never a good thing when the person that's supposedly closest to you in your life is found dead. That's obviously a horrible tragedy that can completely destroy a life, can completely destroy a world, and can be even far worse if people suspect maybe you're the one who did it. You're the one who's responsible for the death of that individual. It's even more disturbing when the evidence very much points to it, especially if it's a poisoning case. Talking about Corey Richens and her husband, Eric Richens, who was found with an overdose of fentanyl in his system, believed to be administered by his wife, Corey Richens, through a Moscow mule late one night. Well, they found more than just the fentanyl in his system. Now they've also found some of her prescription drugs in his system, antipsychotic medications, but one that was also being used as a sleep aid, a very common sleep aid, actually, to be exact. What does that mean? Is this something that is going to help Corey? Look, he might be a drug addict. He's stealing Corey's medicine. Or is this evidence of Corey just kind of trying to mix a lot of things up, put it into his system, and, well, see what happens? And obviously, we know where that went. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, where do you think this is going with this new bit of evidence that has come out?
I think this evidence looks very negative toward Corey Richens. Look, she was the one that is at least accused of this. She is the one that all the information is pointing that she, obtained that fentanyl illegally and tried not on one, but on more than one occasions to kill him by poisoning him. And now her antipsychotic drug, and I know they're saying was used for a sleep aid, but quetiapine is a very often prescribed drug for schizophrenia as well, and other issues like bipolar and other psychosis. I thought this was very interesting. Obviously, they have sought her medical records because this could have an impact in that way too. I know they're saying a sleep aid, but I would wonder if they may try to turn the tables with this piece of information to say, she was having a psychotic episode. I wouldn't doubt that this could go south like that, or not south like that, but could be presented as a defense for her. But I think it helps the prosecution.
If we were to go down that road, let's examine that for a minute. If it were to be used by the defense of Corey Richens as, look, this was a psychotic episode. Like you just said, look, she has a history. She's been prescribed these drugs. There's a knowledge that there's something here that's not right, not healthy, and she's trying to control it. She's trying to do what's right for herself and her family so she's not a danger or a burden. But looks like, oh, something must have happened here, and this just didn't work out right. That would be pretty much admitting guilt, but then very much placing the wager on that you're going to get enough sympathy from a jury and understanding from a jury that you're not mentally right and you were able to commit these crimes. Juries don't tend to like to go down those roads. They like justice. They like, really, either you're guilty or you're not. Not a ton of understanding on the mental health angle of what, if that is the argument that's made, could potentially be a valid argument in all reality.
Well, I think, Tony, that they just don't have any other argument that I've been able to see until this came forward. And once this information came forward, I thought, could they spin the wheel, if you will, on this situation? And I think they could, to at least some degree, because, Tony, there's no other good information out there for her. And she just keeps digging her own grave with, the information from what she's done within the prison cells in terms of the contacts with her relatives and trying to, manipulate things from even behind bars. And just the whole premeditation, everything that's happened in that case has piled up. It's such a good case. I think they need to start looking at how they can really defend her with some logical explanation as to this poisoning.
There's two points with the poisoning. We're talking about the prescription medication. One being, okay, if she needs to take these medications herself, not even talking about the fact that they found it in her husband's system. But if she needs to take these herself for whatever reason it is, for her own mental well-being, because of maybe a personality disorder, maybe some sort of mental illness, if you go down that road and we argue that, or they argue that and say, psychotic episode, this is what happened. Psychotic episodes aren't necessarily going and making a cocktail for someone and giving it to them slowly. I mean, psychotic episodes are someone snapping and going after someone in a heated passion and stabbing them hundreds of times or what have you, just very typically violent things. It's not, this is calculated, making a cocktail for someone and apparently attempting this several times. That's not a psychotic episode. That's a calculated move. Sure. I mean, could mental illness, could a personality disorder have someone's brain working to think that this is the best way out? Sure. But again, not a psychotic episode, just someone who's not really managing their illness very well.
No, I agree with you. It would be the longest psychotic episode on record, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, could it lend itself to the idea that she was mentally ill and, you know, bipolar / schizophrenic and, you know, mm-hmm. two different forces at work within her all this time that led her down this road. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of how in the world they're going to be able to try to defend this woman.
I think you probably have come up with one of the best ideas I've heard thus far on this, because I got nothing, but this new piece of evidence out there kind of points more like maybe we can go that direction. Maybe it might also explain some of the letters that were found in her prison cell that she's claiming were a book. I mean, that could be an argument of like, look, this woman is not well. She thinks this is a manuscript for a book. It's clearly the writings of someone who is not right in the head.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I can just tell you, if I were her attorney, that's what I would be looking at.
I would be saying, write more chapters to that book, leave them out to be found. And I think, honestly, I mean, they could end up creating a stronger defense now by just, I guess, kind of trying to show some evidence that there's something not mentally right with this individual.
Yeah, correct. And we'll see, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they end up going in that direction. But as I said, Tony, it's the only direction I see for her.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now